Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Wednesday night. It is 11 o'clock, and this is Matt Chat live on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ace Diamond, and tonight I'm going to be joined by NWF Hall of Famer and ring announcer, Miss Callie, who I am going to be recapping this past Saturday night's NWF Fight After Christmas. And without any further ado, good evening, Miss Callie.
Good evening, Ace. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fairly well.
Good. And I, as you made mention, we are going to recap this past Saturday night in Fairfield, Ohio. The NWF presented the Fight After Christmas, and oh my goodness, what a fight it was. From beginning to end, there was mayhem, there was chaos. Definitely, if you missed this show, you missed one heck of an event. And I know I say that a lot about numerous NWF events, but I'm going to tell you straight up, we filled up so fast and VIPs were sold out in like no time flat. We had regular VIPs that didn't even get to sit VIP because they got there a few minutes later than normal. I mean, it was, the crowd was loud. They were, I can honestly say, there's no way on the face of this earth somebody did not have a good time at that show, other than maybe some of the people that didn't necessarily win their matches.
Yeah, that's the only way I could think of that people didn't have a good time. I was there. I got there relatively early.
But see, you're smart. You got your ticket in advance.
I got my ticket in advance. But I got in the door. I still had to search for a place to sit because it filled up so fast.
The NWF is on fire, folks. You need to come check them out. Let's talk about some of the fantastic action we saw this past Saturday in Fairfield at the UAW Hall. We had a member of the Protected Ones, David Tyler, who was accompanied to the ring by the NWF CEO, Nate, the Snake Pelly, taking on Alex Hayden. Now, David Tyler is a very talented individual. Somebody that, in my honest opinion, doesn't need to stoop to the tactics he has been stooping to ever since he's become buddy-buddy with Ryan Stone and Jay Donaldson. And now, apparently, Muldoon as well. Because those four together, along with Nate Pelly, are the Protected Ones. A very despicable group of individuals. This fight was back and forth, until Nate Pelly decided to intervene, costing Alex Hayden the match and giving David Tyler the victory. Now, I don't know about you, I really, really hope someday these guys get exactly what's coming to them, and that's a fat fist in the face.
You know, I think they've got it coming to them sooner rather than later. I think the rest of the NWF locker room is going to band together and
You, You kind of got to be careful about it, though, too, because as Nate Pelley likes to remind us all, not only is he the CEO, but he managed to, through legal channels, I might add, which is what makes this so disgusting, basically swindle the company away from Roger Ruffin.
Yes, he did.
Credit where credit's due. I mean, he did it smart. He did it legally, but he's now the one that's writing all the checks. So if we want to say gainfully employed there, we kind of got to an extent, watch our steps.
Absolutely.
And then in what really was quite a bizarre event, so to speak, we saw security and some of the ring crew start after that match was over, start bringing out memorabilia items, flowers, a table, what seemed to be a very small homemade coffin of sorts. Andrew Reed wanted some mic time to basically have what he was calling a funeral for the Titan. Now, I don't know about you. There are a number of people. I would be cautious about it, but there are probably a number of people that I would consider picking fights with. Especially when I was that young and that brash. However, I don't know that I would actually pick the Titan as one of them. I mean, great way to make a mark. Also a good way to get a broken face. They don't call him the king of the fight for no reason. And Andrew Reed takes such great pride in the fact he got Jordan Clearwater fired. He's got a couple of victories over the Titan, none of which were done without controversy.
Of
and
course
then as people
not.
Saw, absolutely. And then as people saw the previous month in Fairfield, Andrew Reed shattered the Titan's mask. Something the Titan referred to as kind of a, and I don't want to misquote him, and I'm afraid I'm going to, but kind of as a gatekeeper to keep a darker, help to keep a darker side of himself in check. Well, Andrew Reed figured out very quickly what a huge mistake it is to antagonize and try to run roughshod when it comes to the king of the fight. Because the Titan did emerge. And let me tell you, he took it straight to Andrew Reed. And I made the comment, I normally would feel bad for somebody in that situation. But in this instance, Andrew Reed had it coming. And we had a very hard-hitting, impromptu match, because that really wasn't scheduled. That wasn't meant to be a match at that point, because that was kind of like Andrew Reed came out dressed all nice. As I say, dressed basically for a funeral. And what he got was a good old-fashioned butt-whooping. And it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
Absolutely. I thoroughly enjoyed that butt kicking that he got.
Oh, beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I know I'm supposed to be impartial, but, you know, I've been on both sides of the fence there. I've been that person that takes the shortcuts, takes the easy way out and things. And I've been the person that's earned the respect of the fans, the respect of my peers. And I can honestly say it's a lot nicer on the side where you've got the people's respect. You've got the respect of the fans, your peers, the people that came before you, the people that are coming in. It's a nice place to be. It's work, but it's a nice place to be. In a tag team match, and I would love to say these were unusual teams, because these aren't individuals that typically team together. But for individuals that don't normally team together, they worked well together. We saw the team of Nasty Russ and the Swinger, Jerry Fitzgerald, taking on the absolute best, the Prince of Sport, Alexis Montez, and the incomparable Justin Lane. Now, we all know Russ and Alexis have had their issues, and those issues continue.
I would say that's putting it very mildly.
Oh, absolutely. I don't want to terrify people, but issues is a very polite way to put it. In case nobody's ever seen these individuals, Alexis Montez calls himself the absolute best, the Prince of Sport. And while he had a rather shady entrance into the company, he's one of them individuals that has turned his ways of thinking around, has earned the respect of the fans, has earned the respect of the people in the locker room, and I am thrilled to death to see this side of Alexis Montez, because he's always been a fabulous competitor. There is nothing derogatory I can say about this man as far as him as a competitor, because he goes out there and he leaves it all in that ring. And it doesn't matter if you like him or you hate him, he gives it 1,000,000,000% every time he's out there. Justin Lane, same way, always puts it out there. Another individual who has turned himself around and started walking more what we can call the straight and narrow. The Swinger, well, that just says it all right there. He's a sleazy individual. He's not somebody you want to see your daughter go home with or even hanging around with. He's a bad influence on your children. That would be how I would characterize him. And the name says it all, Nasty Russ. They don't call him nasty for no reason. This is an individual who will stoop to ungodly depths of despicable acts in order to get what he wants or to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. And he doesn't care how he does it. I mean, you can look all the way back to when he first reemerged in the Northern Wrestling Federation. He attacked his former best friend. He attacked the Titan. He went after the, at that time, NWF owner Roger Ruffin. And he didn't just go after Roger Ruffin. he went after him by using the love of his life. I mean, he literally stomped Big Mama's face into a chair. I mean, can you just imagine the emotions, or in this case, lack thereof, that it would take to stoop to those levels? And he continues to show that side of himself, because not only did Nasty Russ and the Swinger pick up a huge victory over Alexis Montez and Justin Lane, Nasty Russ continued to attack Alexis Montez after that match. I mean, you really
That is an issue. And again, issue is a very, it is not even the right word. That's something that is far from over.
I mean, you have to wonder, is the constant beatdowns an attempt at Nasty Russ to try to repress this young man? Is it maybe he sees a little too much of himself in him? I mean, what is it really? I mean, what is driving Nasty Russ to continually attack and go after Alexis Montez? I mean, the title's no longer in the picture, so I mean, it's not like he's trying to take a championship from him. I mean, this is just straight up. It seems almost like it's becoming a little more personal on a professional level, but still personal to an extent, I guess. Folks, you're going to have to stay tuned to see what develops with that situation. Speaking of people with chips on their shoulders and the protected ones, we saw the big man, the muscle of the protected ones, Muldoon, a very intimidating, a very angry individual. Somebody who, and I can't even think of anybody off the top of my head right now. Unless you're somebody that can stand toe-to-toe and match power with this man, why would you even want to get in his path? And believe me when I say, there are very few people I think that could do that. Taking on a young up-and-comer, all of the above, Josh Adams. Again, we see Nate Pelly ringside, interfering, causing distractions. And I get it. As somebody that represents the darker side of this business, you're going to do what you have to do, no matter what it is, to try to help your group succeed. But it's despicable. It's disgusting. I mean, come on. If Muldoon, who is a former NWF champion, who, after being gone for a long time, when he came back, doesn't appear to have lost a step in any way, shape, form whatsoever. If he can't defeat somebody like Josh Adams, who, nothing against Josh Adams, he's talented, he's young, he's definitely got the youth factor on his side, he keeps himself in tremendous shape, but he doesn't have the experience of somebody like Muldoon. If Muldoon can't defeat Josh Adams on his own, I mean, that is David versus Goliath right there.
Absolutely it is.
And Nate Pelly's interference backfired We saw Josh Adams walk out victorious. A very unhappy Muldoon, which I'm kind of glad to say I didn't have to see him afterwards, because I think I would have, you know, I'm kind of glad I was able to steer clear, because I can't even imagine the foul mood Muldoon must have been in. Not just losing his match, but losing to a smaller, far less experienced individual.
Basically, like, a rookie.
Muldoon, yeah, I mean, Muldoon's no slouch. I mean, he's not as young as he used to be, but he can definitely go out there and he can hang with pretty much anybody out there. So, all that aside, I mean, the only thing that he really has over that Josh Adams has on him is the age difference, because Muldoon has the size, the strength, the experience. So, I mean, I can see where Muldoon would have been in a very foul mood.
And that big man in a foul mood is not something anybody wants to experience.
No. Like I said, I'm glad I was able to avoid that altogether. As people have come to expect, we had a homie don't play that challenge. Pompano Joe lays out a challenge to pretty much any individual on the NWF roster, and we have seen several people outside of the Northern Wrestling Federation that have accepted this challenge. Well, I think Pompano Joe bit off a little bit more than he could chew this time, because we saw the legendary one, Larry D, accept that challenge this past Saturday in Fairfield. And I think we actually would have saw Pompano Joe with his first defeat. And to an extent, it was a loss, but it wasn't by pinfall.
No,
Pompano
it was
Joe
not.
Brought that powder out once again, got himself disqualified, blinded Larry D. But it didn't end there, because we saw the 7-foot monster. And I emphasize the word monster. Big Cuz, as he laid out legendary Larry D. Obviously not catching Larry D at the top of his game, because he was still blinded by that powder. But still, that's a big man to push around. I don't care how incapacitated he may have been because he couldn't see real well at that moment. That's still one of the most freakishly strong individuals I have ever seen grace that ring, or any ring for that matter. And the fact that Big Cuz was basically manhandling legendary Larry D. And this isn't the first time we've seen Big Cuz attack somebody after a match. I mean, he's been doing that quite a bit lately, and I really want to know, what is his end game? Who is he trying to send a message to? Is he trying to send it to one person? Is he sending it to the whole locker room? What is this person trying to prove? Whose attention is he trying to get?
I think he's just trying to get the attention of everybody. And that certainly grabbed my attention when he attacked Larry D.
When you can manhandle somebody like Larry D, who, there's no other way to describe it, the man is ungodly strong. He is a mass of humanity that you sure as hell don't want to piss off. Like, if I had to compare him to anybody else on that roster, it would have to be somebody like AT Money, because that's another freakishly strong individual. Like, I don't know that some of these men, Larry D especially, I don't know that they realize exactly how strong they are. And it's intimidating. I mean, so long as you know you're on their good side, it's cool. Like, I go out of my way not to piss people off in general. And I think Larry D is one of the nicest people I've met. But I also wouldn't want to stand across the ring from him as his opponent.
Absolutely not.
Like I said, I'm really wondering where this Big Cuz situation is going, because he has seemed to make a point of attacking high-profile superstars in the Northern Wrestling Federation. And you just have to stop and wonder, what is his end game? Again, stay tuned to find out, because I have a feeling we haven't seen the last of him. And it's kind of like, you kind of have to wonder who is, because they're random, so who is he going to attack next? When is he going to attack? Because it's not like it's a certain person or a certain time or a certain anything. He just doesn't care, and he does what he wants, and really, who's going to stop him? Is there anybody that can stop him?
Honestly, and I don't see these two butting heads anytime soon, because Nate Pelley is smarter than this, but the only person I could see stopping a guy like Big Cuz would be Muldoon.
And I'm kind of really glad you brought Nate Pelley up in this, because what is Nate Pelley doing to stop this?
Well, from my vantage point on Saturday night, absolutely nothing.
And you're really going to stop and wonder if what's he going to do if Big Cuz decides he wants to go after the champion? Can you really stop that man?
I think if Big Cuz wants to go after the champion, I think we're going to have a new champion.
I mean, that's just, like I said, everything he does is so random. I mean, that's a scary individual. I would not want to run into him in a dark alley.
Maybe that's his plan. Maybe he's doing random things to throw everybody off what his actual game plan is.
We will have to stay tuned and find out. On a much lighter note, though, oh my God, one of my favorite moments of the night. And I did. I had a few moments. I always enjoy our shows, but absolutely one of my most favorite matches of the evening. We saw Fairfield's favorite son, Mr. Rock and Roll Jesse Hyde, go one-on-one. I apologize for laughing, but with Gideon Weinstein. I mean, first off, what in the world was Gideon wearing?
Laughing.
What was Gideon wearing? What was that? Because that certainly did not look like wrestling attire.
No, it did not.
I mean, come on. He had that ugly shirt on that looked like it came out of a it came out of a flea market or something. And not even a good flea market. That
yeah, that looked like it came out of the 70s.
Well, here's a newsflash. The 70s called. They want their shirt back.
Yeah.
And I don't even know that they wore anything quite that ugly in the 70s.
Maybe the 60s then.
I mean, there's been some pretty ugly stuff in the past, but woo. That shirt's an eyesore. Where do you even find that? I mean, did he go to
like
a rumble?
Like you said, a bad thrift shop.
Woo. Of course, you know, Gideon Weinstein, not out there by himself. He was accompanied by not only the tri-state champion, Hollywood Adam Swayze, who always makes his presence known. He was also accompanied by Swayze's co-star and Gideon's buddy from the neighborhood, Big Rex. And again, another very large individual who has no problems making his presence known. First off, Gideon Weinstein revealing that he had pasties on because he was afraid of the titty twister was dumb all on its own. Why reveal that? Because kind of bit him in the butt, which truthfully was really, really humorous. I couldn't help but laugh at that. But because of the constant interference of Hollywood Adam Swayze and Rex, we saw Nikki Victory come out to try to help even the odds. Now, I'm going to tell you, that young lady is a spitfire. She is a ball of energy, and I love watching her. She is energetic. She has the admiration of the crowd. And she took it to the Tri-State Champion. She did everything she could to take it to Big Rex. And who would show his face? None other than Nate Pelly. Once again, admonishing Nikki Victory, telling her to get to the back. She had no business out there with the men. It is that sexist, egotistical attitude. And I am trying really hard not to get pissed off about it, but it pisses me off. You see women like Nikki Victory, Big Mama, they go out there and they bust their butts. And I think they could hang with the men just as well as anybody else. And I hope like hell they get that chance. But thanks to Nikki Victory evening the odds a little bit. Jesse Hyde did get the win. He got the victory over Gideon Weinstein. And do you know what that means, Ace?
Yes, that means that Jesse Hyde gets a tri-state title opportunity.
When we return to Fairfield on January the 26th, it will be Jesse Hyde versus Hollywood Adam Swayze for the tri-state championship. and Jesse Hyde will get a fair shot because Rex and Gideon are banned from the building.
And that is huge. Because I think I think Jesse Hyde has Adam Swayze's number.
Oh, absolutely. I think there's a good chance. I don't want to jinx anybody, but I think if Jesse Hyde has an opportunity to win that Tri-State Championship, Saturday, January 26th, the 26th, is going to be his best opportunity because it's going to be one-on-one. No Rex, no Gideon. Adam Swayze has to do this all on his own. No backup whatsoever. So I hope like hell Jesse Hyde takes advantage of that. Get your pre-sale tickets, folks, because that's going to be a blockbuster. Speaking of title opportunities, though, we saw the greatest villain of all time, one of the protected ones, the NWF champion, Ryan Stone, put that title on the line against the man that rides the stars, the Star Rider. And there were multiple times, speaking of having somebody's number, there were multiple times throughout that match, I thought for sure we were about to see a new NWF champion. And I thought for sure Star Rider was going to get that win. And then Nate Pelly interfered. Not only did he constantly interfere throughout the match, but then, even though it wouldn't have meant Star Rider winning the title, when it looked like Star Rider was going to get a win, even though it would have been by disqualification, Nate Pelly made an unthinkable, completely BS announcement that title match, and you know, I don't give Boss Man credit very often, but I'm going to give him credit here. He blamed Boss Man calling him an incompetent ring announcer because Nate Pelly decided this match was now going to be a no disqualification match, allowing any interference Nate Pelly wanted to do to become legal, allowing the steel chair that Ryan Stone decided to introduce into the match to now be legal. I mean, he just completely stacked the deck. Against the Star Rider. A young man who is wildly popular with the NWF Army. And, I mean, really? You've seen Ryan Stone over the last few years. Does he look like somebody that needs help? Somebody that shouldn't be able to defend a title by himself?
Nope.
Again, I wouldn't call this David versus Goliath, but again, you've got Star Rider. A young individual who is, for all intents and purposes, still basically a rookie in the business. He's got experience, but he doesn't have a lot of it. Taking on somebody that has a multitude of experience. He is the only four-time NWF champion. he's got the advantage as far as experience, size, strength, and credit where credit's due, agility. I wouldn't say he's more agile than Star Rider, but for somebody that is built like Rhinestone, to be able to move and to be as agile and to do some of the high-flying moves that he does, you don't see that a lot. It's not unheard of, but it's not common. So, I mean, it's an advantage for Stone in that fact, but it's still. We've got a champion that can't defend his title without having somebody help him. And I honestly think I would love to see somebody just take it to him and turn the tables. Anything that Nate Pelly or any other member of the Protected Ones thinks to do to try to give their cohorts an unfair advantage, I would love to see somebody turn those tables and use that against them. And I can't wait for the day it happens.
And I
One of
think it's going to happen sooner rather than later, like I said earlier.
Again, it's a wait and see game because we've got so much infighting with some of these guys. And I mean, I think eventually, hopefully, maybe, it would be smart for not only the guys that have been, I don't want to say abused, but where Nate Pelly has abused his power to give members of the Protected Ones unfair advantages against certain superstars. For not only those individuals to band together, but individuals who maybe aren't as affected by Nate Pelly's blatant abuse of power, but still aren't a protected one, so to speak, for all of them to band together against Nate Pelly and the rest of the protected ones, because that's a really rough group to try to infiltrate and even to really do anything against. Because not only do they have experience on their side, they've got the CEO in their back pocket.
And that
In a
makes them
feat.
more dangerous.
Absolutely. In what was a featured triple threat match, probably one of the most talked about matches of the night, we saw the 22-year-old stud of the company, Jay Donaldson, taking on Christopher Michael Lotus and the baddest man alive, Aaron Williams. Now, look back at last Fairfield, the Dozer Memorial Battle Royal. The last three individuals in that ring were Donaldson, Lotus, and Aaron Williams. That match should have come down to Lotus and Aaron Williams. The referees didn't see Jay Donaldson's elimination, He came in, hoodwinked Lotus. Aaron Williams did get the better of Donaldson. Obviously, there's some controversy because would Williams have still come out victorious had it been him and Lotus? We will never know the true answer to that. But in what was a spectacular matchup. You saw those three compete. They are three of the best at what they do. And I can honestly say all three men left it all on the line, left everything laying in that ring. And I think in what was a very pleasant surprise, very capable individual, but a pleasant surprise, we saw Christopher Michael Lotus come out of that triple threat match victorious when he pinned the 22-year-old stud, Jay Donaldson, in the middle of that ring. And then the ultimate show of respect, the handshake between he and Aaron Williams. That is what this sport is about.
Absolutely.
Those three men went out, laid it all on the line out there. And at least two of them showed the ultimate respect and shook hands at the end of that match. Not only was that a match for the record books, a match for the ages, but it showed exactly what this business was about. Competition and sportsmanship. And I cannot wait to see where these three go next. In the main event of the evening, though, a six-man tag. The Crimson Mafia, with their ability to stay together as a unit on the line and a chance to get another shot at the NWF Tag Team Championship, taking on the Natty Boys and their partner, Impact Hall of Famer, the Monster Abyss. Now, heading into Fairfield, we had the mercenary Anthony Bryant on the show, who guaranteed the Mafia were going to walk out victorious. They were going to be that dominant tag team that we had seen that held those championships for almost a year before losing them to the Natty Boys. And it honestly, at points, looked like we were going to see the Crimson Mafia walk out victorious. However, and not to make light of this victory by the Natty Boys and the Monster Abyss, because those three did walk out victorious, we saw the disillusion of the Crimson Mafia, the absolute implosion. Now, I haven't had a chance to sit down and speak with Lord Crewe, but we saw the absolute disgust and dismay by the Mafia, which I do apologize. I did fail to mention when the Mafia did try to gain what could have been considered an unfair advantage by trying to handcuff the Monster Abyss. They ended up accidentally handcuffing Wildcat Chris Harris in the corner. And that in and of itself was a difference maker.
Absolutely.
You took away one of the most dangerous weapons they had. Not that the Mercenary and Lord Crew are not dangerous on their own, because they are. But then you add all of the experience possessed by Wildcat Chris Harris, and that takes away a lot from that match. That put the numbers game in the favor of the Natty Boys and the Monster. They got the huge pinfall victory. They pin Lord Crew. We saw the Mercenary and Lord Crew get nose to nose. And I honestly thought a slugfest was going to ensue.
I was secretly hoping it would.
But Lord Crew walked away, and you gotta wonder what was on the mind of Lord Crew at that moment. Where does he stand emotionally? Where is he mentally right now? Because I think we all saw where Anthony Bryant is.
Yeah, he is not a happy camper.
He is a very angry individual, laying blame to everybody but himself. While Chris Harris asked him for the key to let him out of the handcuffs. Not only did he start beating down Chris Harris, but when he finally did take the handcuffs off, he continued to pummel Wildcat Chris Harris, somebody that is considered one of the all-time greats throughout the NWF. He's somebody that has been all over the globe. And Anthony Bryant showed him absolutely no respect. And folks, if you missed the NWF's huge New Year's Day event, the Mercenary pretty much denounced the Crimson Mafia. He, for all intents and purposes, left Wildcat Chris Harris laying Saturday night. We saw him stretchered out. Basically called him, again, for lack of better phrasing, a washed-up has-been, stating his career was over years ago. And that soon enough, the spotlight would be back on Anthony Bryant. Now, I don't know exactly what he's alluding to by that, who he's going after, what he's going after. But I have a feeling whatever it is, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be pretty. And I am just in absolute shock. At his behavior, I am appalled by it. And like I said, I have not spoken with Lord Crew since the event in Fairfield, so I have no clue where his head's at, where all this is concerned. I have not had an opportunity to speak with Wildcat Chris Harris, but Anthony Bryant has very much made his feelings known. Folks, if you haven't already, though, make sure you check out the NWF on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter. Call the hotline at 513-570-4NWF. And be sure you join us this Saturday night, January the 5th, at the historic Ludlow Theater in Ludlow, Kentucky. Doors open at 6:30 with a 7:30 bell time. It's going to be one heck of a night, folks. Hollywood Adam Swayze defends his tri-state title against Christopher Michael Lotus. Ace, this is one you're going to enjoy. Nikki Victory is going to go one-on-one with none other than Ella. And let me tell you, that girl is crazy. I will not say it to her face. I steer as clear of her as I possibly can. That I cannot wait to see those two go one-on-one. You've got Jay Donaldson taking on Stewie Staggs. David Tyler takes on Josh Adams. So, folks, make sure you join us this Saturday night, January the 5th, at the historic Ludlow Theater for a huge night of wrestling action that you do not want to miss. Ace Diamond.
It sounds like it's going to be a great night. And that just happens to be the day after my birthday.
Well, happy birthday, Ace.
Maybe I might have to figure out a way to get down to Ludlow, Kentucky.
Maybe you should.
But we're about out of time, fans. Miss Callie, always a pleasure.
Always have a good night.
Fans, like I said, we're about out of time. I will be returning to my normal schedule next Monday, this coming Monday. I will have updates on future guests in the coming days. Have a good night, everybody.